This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason. And listen, we're even going to leave a link right there in the description so you can help us do that.
How nice for you.
It's convenient.
Today's date is April the 15th, which means that our date, the word, is coming to you today from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
But it doesn't count because Jesus couldn't have sinned. So he...
Oh, dude! He actually clocked me
no,
on the radio.
No, I would never. I would never.
You know, people often like to use the fact that Jesus couldn't sin. We call that his impeccability. As a way to...
Fancy vocab on Monday.
Very.
Good job.
I'm a seminary student, right? So... People like to use that to sort of undermine this idea that Jesus is able to sympathize with us, that Jesus is able to relate to us. And I think it's in part to kind of spread this gap between God and man, which on one hand I understand. At the same time, Jesus sympathizing with us, him identifying with the human race, is why he took on flesh in the first place.
Right.
Right? It's to save us from our sin, to save us from the holy wrath of God.
Yeah, and if you go too far down that rabbit trail of like, was Jesus actually tempted? Does his ability to sin negate, or his inability to sin negate the validity of the temptation? I mean, then at that point, you're questioning Jesus' humanity.
That's right.
You're calling into question his dual nature, and I don't think that's something I'm comfortable doing.
Right. The fact that Jesus overcame death and the grave should mean that him overcoming temptation is no big deal for
right.
us. Like we should, but it's also it also undermines the victory that Jesus won.
Yep.
And so when I read something like this, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. The only thing that it fills me with is gratefulness.
Yes.
That Jesus is there for us.
Yes, that he knows what we're going through and he gives us exactly what we need through him to withstand that temptation.
That's right. And if you guys are liking these Date the Words, every single episode is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app for a smartphone. You can download it for free right now. That's iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's word and the hope of making it more memorable for you.
Merry Monday,
Merry
my
Monday.
Friends.
That's right.
Today is Monday, which means that our Monday segment, All the Small Things, is on
I wish that song wasn't copyrighted.
Trademark pending. So I'm going to take the All the Small Things today because I have something that has recently come back up for me and I want to share it with you.
I love it.
This is maybe specific to me, but I want to give it to you. Mm-hmm. After a big meal.
We should say, sorry, if anybody's new and listening, all the small things.
Oh, true.
This is the segment that we do every Monday where we talk about just some of the little things that God has given us to enjoy in life.
Small little smile moments.
Sometimes they can be petty. Sometimes they're pretty innocent.
Sure. So for me, after you get done with a meal, go ahead and load the dishwasher and run it. Here's why. Let me give you a little Here's why. Let me give you a little bit of context.
So there is
no greater feeling than after you had, maybe you had a bunch of people over to eat for dinner. Uh-huh. Maybe you as a family have kind of sat down. My family, when we sit down, we are already a bunch of people.
Right. Sure.
So you wash the dishes, you put them in the dishwasher, close it, run it, and then everybody just kind of sits on the couch, fat and full, and just kind of that little hum in the background is just... It's just pleasant.
So is it the fact that you don't have a job to do now, or like the task is done, or it's the sound you like?
So for me, in the short term, and for most people, it's the fact that you don't have dishes. You just already knock it out. Just go. You're not going to feel like doing them later. You think you will.
Right.
I'm going to let them soak in the sink. No, you're not going to feel like doing them later.
True.
So go ahead and knock it out now.
Uh-huh.
And then you have that hum that you associate with that feeling.
It was a double whammy.
That fullness. For me, it reminds me of when I was a kid and we would go over to like family's house and have a big family meal. And everybody, like after the meal, you've eaten too much. You're kind of laying around. Maybe some people like taking a cat nap on the couch.
Uh-huh.
You hear that like hum of the dishwasher in the background.
I can get behind that.
And it's just a pleasant, for me, it's a pleasant memory.
I can get behind that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah. I thought you were like, oh, this is just like, it's nice to have the job out of the way, which I don't have to wash the dishes anyway. So I just give that all to my wife.
Yeah, just
and as soon as she gets sick of it, she's going to teach my son how to do it.
There you go. Hey,
but I can get that. I remember as a kid waking up on Saturday mornings to my dad cutting the grass outside my window, and like the way I just remember like the way when it would pass, it would be like, and like he would come past, and so I would open the window up on and like have that warm summer air and like the smell of fresh cut grass come in my window. So yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
You bring those childhood memories
just those
back.
Those little sounds, those little smells from childhood, just kind of, you know, it's that feeling of nostalgia.
I wonder if Dr. Shah has any of those from India. Like, what are some of the pleasant memories from childhood? They're like you, those sounds that you hear that bring back something like that.
Let's ask him.
Yeah.
Write in and let us know what that is for you guys. What is something that brings back that feeling of childhood nostalgia? 252-582-5028 are all the small things segments, just encouraging you. Maybe it's the dishwasher for you, maybe it's not, but just lean into that nostalgia.
Yeah, that's right.
Capitalize on those moments. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinand Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, it's good to be back for another week of Clearview Today.
Yes.
Happy Monday. Let me ask you this. We were talking about nostalgic memories from childhood, particularly sounds, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about the dishwasher being run right after a meal, talking about the sound of your dad cutting grass outside the window at like 7 in the morning on a nice summer day. Do you have any like warm nostalgic memories from childhood that like if you hear a sound, it like takes you back to that place?
It's a smell.
A smell? Okay.
It's a smell of paint.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
So every Christmas, dad would get these painters to come to paint the church first. I mean, they would paint the
paint
whole...
Paint every Christmas?
Every Christmas.
Wow.
Inside out. And do understand that over there, because of the dust right. and everything, the walls, it's not like they become black or gray or anything. They're just, they're not clean.
Right.
So painting sort of takes care of all that problem.
Mm-hmm, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
That was the smell everywhere.
Wow.
And that smell to me was associated with Christmas.
Okay.
In my mind. Wow.
Yeah,
in my mind.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of funny how that how that works. Did you like it at the time, or was it, do you like now that you smell it, you go back and you like it?
I don't know if I liked it at the time or not.
Yeah.
But I do associate that smell with exciting.
Mm. Yeah.
Like when that's happening, which means a lot of excitement is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Something good happening.
A lot of good happening because now Christmas week is about to come. Mom's going to start cooking all these Christmas carols and going out singing and sports day and picnic and all the competitions are going to begin. We used to have debate and speech competitions and singing competitions, all that would go on in the church. So all that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The school will be out for about good 2-3 weeks. So I associate paint with Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is that way. I mean, like, if you're painting something, something's either getting redone or it's being made new or, like, there's some new thing
there's,
coming.
There's some excitement that comes when paint is opened.
You know I remember when I think about paint? I know you're not going to like it, but painting the Illuminate room. You remember, when, Ryan?
Yes.
So on the wake of, I think we've told the story of the purple room on the podcast before, but Ryan was like, I would like to paint the Illuminate student room. And Dr. Shaw was like, go for it. He was like, what about a nice, rich brown? And I was like, dude, that would be fun. I'll help you paint it. We got in
so this, and this is, we haven't known each other for very long at this point.
I mean, like a couple years?
A year or two, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we've never really done like major projects together. I'm like, all right, cool. After work, we'll get some paintbrushes and rollers and go paint.
You painted as a career, right? Like, it was as a job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was in college.
So you know that painting kind of starts fun. It's like, oh, man, this is exciting.
You got sand the walls and all this stuff.
Once you've been at it for maybe 10, 20 minutes, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. No. And that hit hard. I was like, Ryan, I'm going to be honest with you, dude.
So quickly.
I don't want to do this no more.
Lost steam.
And Ryan, like at the time, he wasn't as candid like as we are now. So he was like, oh, I mean, you know, we didn't hire painters because we volunteered to do this. It was the royal we, like you volunteered to help.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, I know, but damn, my wrists are starting to hurt. I might just take a break.
And legend has it that break is still going on today.
That's what I remember when I think about painting. So the memories aren't quite as pleasant.
I do remember that. Yeah. And long story short, I finished the room.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how those smells and those sounds can take you back to your past.
Well, nostalgia is something that everybody experiences. And that, you know, we want to discuss that a little bit on today's episode in a little bit different context. But Dr. Shaw, what is the daily encouragement you want to leave our listeners and our viewers with today?
Tip your hat to the past, but roll up your sleeves to the present and the future. And again, I didn't come up with this.
Right.
Other people have said it. In fact, they've said it with more flair than I just did. But that's how you should live.
Yeah.
Tip your hat to the past. Just say, okay, past was great or wasn't great, but acknowledge it. But then roll up your sleeves for the future. Mm. Start living in the future. Don't live in the past.
Yeah.
I love history, but I don't want to live in history.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I remember my grandparents and like my grandparents, because my grandparents on my mom's side, all their brothers and sisters lived in like a bunch of houses that were right there together. So they were all just together all the time. I remember that was the one thing that they always did. They would just sit around and talk about how good things used to be. You know, they would just idealize.
Them good old days.
And I felt like at a certain point, they weren't just remembering it. They were remaking it. Mm-hmm. They were like remaking and reshaping their past as like the story of their life.
Yeah.
But if you were to somehow time travel back, I don't know if it was actually as glorious and warm and nostalgic, I guess, as it actually they were making out to be.
That's a big pet peeve of mine. And I have some people who are close to me that do that. Whenever we're together and we haven't been together in a while, it's just like, remember when we used to? Remember this? Do you remember this? Mm. Remember that one time when we? And I'm like, this is just recycling the same memories over and over and over again. We're not focused on what's happening now and making new memories.
It's funny because I remember as a teenager, being surrounded by people like that, even in the church, you know, people were like, maybe even especially in the church, I should say, people were like that. And I remember being like, I'll never be like that. I'll always be present-minded. But now I see,
see yourself saying
I see myself.
It.
You can see the tendency.
Not only can I see myself say it, I say it.
Yeah.
Like Gavin, my son, will be watching like kids' TV, and I'll just be sitting there, and I'll look over at Ellie, and I'll be like, this is not, like, you remember Nickelodeon? Remember Doug? Remember Rugrats? Yeah. Remember Hey Arnold and Salute Your Shorts and all that stuff? Like, that was TV. And then I snap right back to my dad being like, what is this?
Yep.
What is all this stuff you're watching? Remember Bugs Bunny, Mama? Remember?
I've had those moments where,
Daffy Duck?
Where the kids will be listening to music. I'm like, what is this music? What in the world? And then I hear myself. I'm like,
I'm turning into my dad.
I'm sure their parents were saying things like, you know, remember that we should just be outside sitting by the creek instead of sitting in front of this TV and watching this rabbit chasing.
It's funny how that works. And like, you're absolutely right, John. The older you get, you feel that tendency start to creep in. And it requires like kind of actively working against it.
You know, it's one of the things that it's fun to laugh at. But then I do wonder if there is some real harm in it, you know, because when you keep going back to the past in your mind, I wonder if you're going back to an older version of you. Mm. You know what I mean? A you that was more okay with sin.
Yeah.
A you that was more willing to compromise on the things that are holy.
Classic example would be the people of Israel or the Hebrews. True. Before they became the people of Israel, they were just Hebrews. They were just slaves in the land of Egypt for those 400-some years, suffering under the lash of the Pharaoh and hating it, crying out to God. Their babies are being taken and thrown into the Nile River to be eaten by crocodiles. This is the life they lived. And making bricks and barely surviving. Of course, at one time they were at the height of power, one of their own. The first one there, Joseph, was Imhotep.
Yeah.
This brilliant man, this vizier, this scientist, the head of the building projects. This is who Joseph was. If you study Joseph, Imhotep, that's who he was. But that's not where they are now.
Right.
They are slaves. They're eking out a living, barely surviving in pain and crying out to God. And God sends a man. God sends a former Pharaoh in training, who is one of them, to come and lead them out. And he led them out with powerful miracles. The signs, the 10 signs, I mean, powerful miracles. And then he parted the Red Sea, got them on the other side, and immediately they complain about water. They complain about food. They were missing all the onions and leeks and garlic.
They were like, man, we used to eat so good. I mean, we were slaves.
Pots of meat.
Yeah.
How? When do you eat food from a pot?
Right.
You eat in a plate.
Yeah.
People often think it's like, well, they ate. No. What they're saying is, we just were so spoiled that we didn't even put it on our plate. We would just
eat it right out
of
the
pot.
Yep. Just roll up our sleeves and dig in. Like, yeah, we were slaves, but man, I think we had it good.
They need a whooping.
Yeah.
Yes.
a big whooping. Big whooping.
Somebody's going to get the spoon.
Bro, someone's getting the wooden spoon right now.
I mean, they were saying things that are like, wait, just a few minutes ago, you were crying.
Yeah.
And now we had pots of meat. We had food. We had bread.
Deliver us. Lord, save us.
It's like I imagine like taking Gavin or my kids out to like ice cream or like it's just somewhere fun. He's like, man, I appreciate this, but I wish I could go back to timeout. The cushion was so soft. The little chair I sat on.
Yeah.
I could fall asleep.
These bugs
in
weren't
it.
Buzzing in my face. Yeah. My ice cream was like hurting my teeth.
I wish I'd stayed in timeout.
Yeah. You ungrateful.
Yeah.
And that is a classic example of how many of us do when it comes to the past.
That's true.
Great example.
And so keep in mind, everything that the people of Israel have gone through, as Paul says, they were as examples for us. They lived out the life that now we live through Christ. Mm-hmm. They lived following the cloud of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. Now we have Christ in us, but the principles are exactly the same.
That's
nothing
right.
changed there. Same Holy Spirit. Same salvation.
Yeah.
They were waiting for the coming one. We look back to the coming one.
That's right.
Nothing's changed. So they have acted out for us. So in our own personal lives, do we also do the same thing?
Mm.
Let's talk about back in the day as in your past life.
True. Because then, right then, it doesn't seem so fond.
Sometimes I cringe when I hear someone say, "Brother, back in the day, I'm telling you, I need to tell you my story, and you'll realize." And I want to ask them, "Do you miss that?"
Yeah, it feels almost like bragging at that.
Yeah, like,
you're bragging about this.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you were a dirty, rotten, wretched sinner, an enemy of God, right, hellbound, Satan's child. That's who you were. And you're saying, as if this is a great thing that I want to share with you, and you're gonna be shocked.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's gonna blow your mind.
It's like that glory days.
Yeah, it's that peak in high school syndrome, and you always know when you found them, when people can't stop talking about who they were in high school. You know what I mean? Like, I was the quarterback, and I was this, and I was that, and I was
messing with all those girls and everything. Mm-hmm. You really want to brag about that? Because I was not nice. Do you have daughters?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you want to talk about? You use a ladies' man? What does that mean?
Well, it's, yeah, exactly. And it is indicative that there was never really a heart change. There was just a behavioral shift. You know, I know that no longer this is acceptable. Now I'm an adult. But man, I do miss those days when I was wild and free and fun and everybody. Yeah. Everybody,
that romanticized idea of like the wild days, the glory days back in my prime. But you're absolutely right. That was when we were enemies of God. That's when we were under God's wrath.
You were
wrath.
Doing things that you were not supposed to do, right? Yeah. Like, anytime somebody says, "I was a ladies' man back in the day, man, I was just, you know." Well, that, what does that mean, ladies' man?
Yeah.
Like, now, unless you were like, you're just making all this stuff up, then maybe that's fine. Go and do it. Mm-hmm. But if you really mean ladies' man, then you were messing around with girls.
That's right.
Who are not going to be your wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to brag about
that? That's your bragging point, really.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be bragged about?
Well, they always flip it. They're like, "Well, I'm just bragging on how God changed me. I mean, I was so down that well, God did it." It's like, so talk about him.
Right.
I don't need to hear the details.
Because there's a lot of there's a lot of me language. It doesn't sound like you're bragging on God.
Yeah. I can fighting,
you know, I just get into fights all the time. Yeah. Punch people out, man. I would just, okay, all right. I get it. There's a certain level of macho man syndrome there. Mm-hmm. I get it. We all have that little bit in us. But punching someone out instead of sharing the gospel with them, what if that fight now has turned that person completely against God?
That's right. Yeah. Church. What if they were to meet you today and you tried to share the gospel with them and they remember, "Aren't you the guy that like knocked me out in front of a grocery store
for looking
at you sideways?"
Right.
Feel like worth bragging now.
Yeah.
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 So I like my dad, he had his testimony. Many times he didn't want to share the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
People came to him wanting to write a book on him, on his autobiography. And he would often be like, yes, yes. But you could tell he just was not going to do it.
Right.
It was not his thing. Mm-hmm. It was never like our family was this and our family was that and we were rich. You know, I talk about it. He never did.
Mm.
It was very rare that we would get that information out of him.
Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of, and you've said this before, and I think we've had people on the show before who like have served in the military and have gone through stuff like that, is they don't talk about it. Those things are not glorious. They're not glamorous. And you can always tell, I don't want to say the fakes, but maybe the phonies, the ones who can't stop talking about it, the ones who always, that's their identity, what I did and who I was.
It's just something they can brag about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's something that is not worth bragging about.
That's right. That's right. And you typically, and so I guess it's like the Lord says, you know them by their fruits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By who they are, their character, all those things shaped them into their person. But if they're still holding on to them.
As badges,
right,
of
badges
honor.
Badges of honor.
So how should we then look at life? How should we, what should we brag on? I would say we should brag on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 That's what we should brag on. We should brag on how great he is, how awesome he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peter does over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 17. It says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear."
Mm.
That's not very fearful when you're back in the day.
True. Right? If you truly believe there's a judgment coming,
yeah.
If you truly believe that, then I'm not going to keep bringing up all those things that were actually against
me. Yeah, I wouldn't dwell on those.
Yeah. And if any of our listeners and viewers are wondering, why are we talking about this? Verse 14, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the..."
Former lusts.
Former lusts.
Should be former.
Yeah. Should be.
I just thought.
They were lusts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. And I just thought about this. I don't know if... It's like, you know Like we were talking about that judgment to come, and you know that something is coming. You know that God's judgment is coming, and I'm just going to keep bringing up. Like when I bring up all those sins to other people to gain cred, I'm also bringing it up to God, and I'm like, God, listen, I remember when I did this. I know that counted against me. I want you to not remember it. I want these guys to remember it. But it's like you keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up before God. He's like, you know you're going to have to pay for that.
Yeah, if you're on trial somewhere and you're like talking about your sentence, talking about what you did to the people in the courtroom, your lawyer's going to be like, will you please be quiet?
Yeah, I know, right?
Will you please stop talking?
And while the judges over there, the guy's like, you know, I knocked up that Piggly Wiggly too.
I'll tell you how I did it.
The food line over here and that bank robbery.
Just keep it on the down low, man. Don't let the judge know.
I am going to hurt you if you continue to run your mouth.
Anyway, I didn't mean to, just that image popped in my mind and made me kind of laugh.
So the former lust refers to the old family values, the old behaviors, all of that. In contrast, they were to choose holiness as their new calling. And if that's not enough, listen again to verse 17. And if you call on the Father, this is your heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Which means whatever remaining time you have left, behave yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, truly. And I think this is something to kind of bring out too, is this distinction between the old family and the new family. And you talked about that a lot in a book that's going to be coming out in the future. You know, you wrote a book called First Gospel and it's coming out soon, but there's a lot of that language in there, what family you belong to. And it's really interesting because I think we've lost that. We're so individualistic that we, as a whole, don't believe that we really belong to a family.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So I think that was a great distinction to make.
Yeah. And in verses 13 to 21, Peter gives us sort of a timeline of our past, present, and future. And before time, it says in verse 20, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So again, talking about who Christ is. Christ was. Verse 14, there's a time of ignorance and emptiness. It says, as obedient children, now we read this the third time now, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts.
As in your ignorance.
As in your ignorance.
So you just didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you do. So don't go back to being ignorant.
Don't brag on your ignorance.
Right. Yeah.
And then end of the ages that is coming. Which is verse 20, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in
God.
They're not in my past. They're not in my previous glory, as wretched as that was, or as glorious as that was. It's in God.
Yeah.
And I think it's an important distinction because this is something that you have said countless times from the pulpit, and I'm sure you said it on the show, but when we say like the end of the ages, like these last days, we're really talking about right now. Like we're living in the last days.
Right.
And that's, I think that's easy to forget.
That's right. It is. And then we have been rescued and we have been restored. It says in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Aimless conduct. Now, in this context, aimless conduct has to do with all the temple worship,
right?
All the rituals, all that stuff.
Right.
That was aimless conduct. But you can apply it to your life. All your previous ways of trying to get to God, and it's like, I'm good today, or I'm not good tomorrow, but my good outweighs my bad, or I serve in church, or I go to youth camps and I help out. All those things are aimless conduct. Those are your traditions.
Right. Right.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
That's right.
Okay, so that's what you should glory in. And also keep in mind our temporary life. In verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges each one according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And then verse 13, therefore, we're kind of working our way backwards here. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
So it's something coming.
Yeah. So get your mind in focus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't glory over those lustful, ignorant days mm-hmm. when you were enemies of God, but be sober mm-hmm. and have your hope focused towards the future, where it's not like, hey, no, now we're going to glory. No, now you're going to receive grace when Jesus comes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a very different and deep perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. It's future focused.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's helpful for us, you know, fighting against that tendency that we've talked about to constantly drift backward, but to focus on the future and not go back to those times of ignorance, not go back to those times where we're enemies of God, mm-hmm. but focus on the future and what God's called us to.
100%.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So helpful for us. If today was helpful for you guys, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. John, what's coming up tomorrow?
I don't know about you guys, but I am in my soft guy era.
Ew.
Y'all know what that means.
Ew, brother. Ew, brother.
We're going to be talking about this. A lot of people listening right now are like, what in the world is that? Well, guess what? We're going to tell you. Because believe it or not, it is in the minds of your young people and young people all over this country today. So we're going to talk about it. What does it mean and what does it imply?
Yeah, make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll clear you today.